Thank you, Vic. It's good to be here. I don't know whether I like preaching on these themed Sundays where there's a, Mother's Day, Father's Day, so forth, but it does lead to memories. I look out and I see lots of fathers. I want to greet you this morning in the name of our Lord and Savior. I know that there's going to be a lot of celebrating, hopefully, later, to honor you. And it's right. I don't want you to get too big of heads, though. You know, I looked up Father's Day and Mother's Day, and, you know, Mother's Day, it was became a national holiday in 1914. You know, they waited till 1972 to do anything about us guys. And, although they said it's estimated there's going to be $1 billion spent on Father's Day. $1 billion. There was $35 billion spent on Mother's Day. So I want to just keep you guys in perspective of where we stand in this, but it is right, you know, to honor. The scriptures are very, very plain about honoring our mothers and our fathers. And I know that in past sermons and past testimonies, I bore some reflections about my mother quite a few times, and she was truly a blessing in our family, and talked about many of her attributes, and I really left Dad out, but I'd like to reflect a little bit, and I want you to reflect on your fathers and what they were to you and in your life. I look out and I see generations here of fatherhoods, and that's really good. And as I reflect, I look out here and I see fathers not only to their immediate family, but they've been fathers to us in the church. You know, they have guided us, give us inspiration, given us at times correction in our lives. And all these things are very, very important. We have much to thank God for the men in our lives, the men in this church. But you know, like I would assume, now I'm not going to take, I assume a lot of things, but I know in my life, in my formative years, when I was still at home and young, I had more time with my mom. You know, it's the way it was. My father, he worked long and hard for the family. And so mom was, especially when I was younger, was responsible for that. But I do, you know, since I've grown older, and I was privileged once I was grown to be able to work with my father. Not so much my brother, but I was privileged to work with my father. No, that's not true. I was privileged to work with my family. And I got to see a lot of those attributes as I was grown. And I look back and I look at Dad, and Mike can attest to this, that while he was working, he had absolutely no time for hobbies. Now, he went into woodworking after he was forced to retire, but he had no hobbies. And he really never spent money on himself. He never did that. It was all to go for the family. And I've thought about that. I've thought about the blessings and the sacrifice that he made, you know. And now in our, I don't know in, how in your family, but in our family, Mom was the one who handed out the discipline. And the only thing Dad had to do with the discipline was Mom used his belt. So, I mean, that's as far as it went. And I have to tell you that the sound of the belt was much worse than the inflicted pain. She made it sound really bad. It wasn't that bad. But he was, he never wanted to do that. You know, he never wanted to that part. Well, Mom picked it up pretty good. But I have to tell you a couple stories. And I was 12 or 13. And I was big for my age. I was this size when I was 12. I'm not big now, but for 12, it was big. And so we had, Mom and Dad had a 58 Cadillac. I don't know if you know about a 58 Cadillac. It was metal. Heavy metal. And so I was practicing driving. They said, fine, you thought I was bigger than what I was. And so I was back and forth in the driveway a zillion times, and it was time to park and in the garage. So I was in there, and I didn't quite have it enough, and I went to pull it forward, and my foot slipped, and I hit that gas. And I hit the back of the garage, and it was poured concrete. Was it that thick, Mike? It was that thick of poured concrete. And it was so loud, Mom heard it and came out. And so I backed it out of the garage, and we inspected it. And the famous saying, you know, wait till your father gets home. Yeah, haven't you heard? I mean, most of us have heard that. And so I'm sitting there, and this had to be about 4. Dad got home, 5:36. I'm pacing, I'm wondering. And so Mom talks to him before I, and so we all three walk out and inspect the front of the car. And Dad turns to me and says, and turns to Mom and says, well, you know, it could have happened to you or I. And that was it. Put his arm around me. We walked into the hall. And another instance, I get to tell this on Mike. It was about the same time. I was probably 13, Mike was 16. Jim was small, our younger brother, and the three of us were out in the garage, and it was dark. Yeah, you know, tell, I'm going to tell. And we had weights. We had a barbell, and, you know, we were, and Mike, I don't know how you describe it. He was acting like a real jerk, you know? I'm sure you guys have seen this trait. But, I mean, smart aleck, 16-year-old. Just nonstop with Dad, nonstop, nonstop. And so we get done, we start walking in, and I'm in the back, and Dad's in the front, and Mike says, one more thing. And Dad turned around and was open-handed, whopped him upside the head, and I was shocked. I'd never seen this from my father. And so I, you know, what I did, beeline for the house. I was gone in a second. And that's really the only time, and he's telling Pat, you know, that it wasn't that way, but it was that way. It was that way. But it's the only time I saw Dad lose his temper. And later on, Mom reflected, and we were talking about that. When she was, I don't know if she was living with us at her home, and she says, you know, it scared your father so much that he lost control, he said, and he realized that he'd lost control. And he knew that he couldn't do that and shouldn't do that. And he never did that again. He had qualities that I wish I had. I never really saw him get, besides Mike, get angry with someone. I never saw him have words with anyone. You know, when we were working with him, Mike and I and Jim, people came in. And they didn't come in to see Mike or Jim or I. They came in to talk to Dad. Because Melissa's dad, your dad too, had the same quality. He could and did talk to anybody and everybody. And he listened. And they knew he listened. And he commiserated. He's the only person I know that could go in to Fairmount Hardware to buy a box of screws and be there for 3 hours. And it wasn't looking, he was talking. And people recognized that in him. And I look at those attributes that he had, and I wish I had those. And I started to think about where those attributes came from, how he developed those attributes. He made a choice, just like he made a choice after he lost control with Mike. He made a choice to follow a standard. Now you can say, you know, it was right and wrong, we all have that. We know right and wrong. But it was more than that. He made a choice to make a difference in this world, with the people that he came in contact with. Now, that is listening to something besides the right and wrong. It's listening to a spirit. And I know that he listened to that spirit within him. And I'm thankful that he did. I'm spending too much time talking. I need to get to scriptures. But that is the reflection that I see. And I see it in many of the fathers and the males in this congregation. I want to turn to 1 John, 4th chapter. And I don't have anything up there. You can stare at it, but it's not going to materialize. And I'm going to read the first four verses. I read this it must be 3 or 4 weeks ago. I didn't read it. It just came to my mind, and I told my wife, this is going to be my next sermon. And it was one of those times when it just, I'm sure many of the ministry have had that happen to them and made such an impression. And we've heard it many times. 1 John 4th chapter, and first four verses. It says, beloved, I'm going to read them. And I'm going to go back and talk about them. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby ye know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, I'm sorry, I put a different word in it. It's flesh. Is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof we have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Choices. We were given a soul. I don't know when. You don't really know when, but we were given a soul, a spirit, our spirit. And that spirit has choices to make. And it says, beloved, believe not every spirit, first verse, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. Are the false prophets the spirit? No. No, they're not. They had the same choice as you and I. And they're false prophets because what? They chose to listen to a different spirit. They did. Hereby, second verse, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus is come into flesh is of God. I want to touch on that word, confesses. And what does it mean to you? If you ask, say, if Satan was here, and you ask him if Jesus came into flesh, he'd say, yeah. He'd say, yes, he did. There's more to this confessing than verbal acceptance. And the third verse, and every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. But there's something else said. It is the spirit of Antichrist. It's more than word. It's action. That spirit of Antichrist. It's more than just word. Yes, it's word. We can have someone say that Jesus is not the Christ. You know? And yes, that is a spirit of Antichrist. But it's talking about more than that here. And we know who he's talking about. He's talking to those who have made a choice. You and I. Almost everyone in this congregation. Almost everyone. And it says you are of God, little children, and have overcome what? Overcome that spirit. You have overcome them, the spirits, the choice, because of what? You're his child, because what do you have in you? You have him. I want to turn to Ephesians. I want to turn to Galatians. Sorry. The fifth chapter. You all know this. It's been part of the church camp. It's been part of every theme camp at some time or other. The fifth chapter, starting, I'm going to read 22 and 23. And I'm going to add a few fruits to it, if you will allow me to do that. Because it does say, I'm going to read on. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, humbleness, compassion, righteousness, a pure heart. All these are fruits of the Spirit. And says, against such there is no law. Now I'm going to go back. No, I'm going to read 24 and 25. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, and we do live in the Spirit, and we have the Spirit with us, we also walk in the Spirit. Now I'm going to go back, and we are going to read an opposition. There's an opposition in all things. starting with the 16th verse, same chapter. Then I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Okay, this is the choice, okay? Either we follow the Spirit that the Lord has put within us, that many of our young people have received, and even greater, they have received the Holy Ghost. But it's that Spirit, and it's the choice. Now, the opposition. If you walk, then walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And we've heard this all the time, many times, from this pulpit, from other places. And these are contrary to one to another, so that you cannot do things that ye would. Okay, now he's going to list them. But I want you to remember that statement. These things, if they are in your life, they are going to eliminate some of the fruits of the Spirit. Are they not? It says you cannot do this. I want to read on. And I want you to think about this. And I want you to think about it seriously. But if ye be led by the Spirit, ye shall not be under the law. Now the works of the flesh, the opposition, are manifest. Whole bunch. Can't list them all here. He just lists a few. Just like those fruits of the Spirit, list a few. You can add. You can add here. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, conflict. I mean, that's what variance is. Conflict. Conflict. Emulations. Wrath. Strife. Seditions. Heresies. Envyings. Murders. Drunkenness. Reveling. And such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I want you to think about that. I want you to think about that very seriously. And ask yourself in your heart, truthfully, if any of those things are in your heart, not now. Nah, not now. Do they enter into your heart? Or on your tongues? Or in your emails? Or on Facebook? Are they there? Have they been there? If they have been in your heart, in my heart, there's danger. There's danger for each of us. You and I have to be aware, need to be aware of those things. Not only that we think, but you know, there's a place in the Book of Mormon, and where they're offering up words or prayers, and I tried to find it this morning, I couldn't find it. I'm not computer literate, you know. Maybe you've got it too. I've got this concordance of the Book of Mormon that is about that thick. And I can't find anything in that thing. It's too detailed, okay? You know, I have a Cruden's concordance that's about that thick, and I can find anything that I want in it. But I couldn't find it. But it talks about people. Talks about a group of people that were offering up comments and prayers that, Lord, I'm glad we're not like those people. I'm so thankful that we're not like those people, that we don't do the things that those people do. Is there a difference? Is there a difference when you type or you post about someone else online? Is there a difference? Does it make you better? Might make you feel better. But it's you, and it's the wrong spirit if it does make you feel better. You're not going to see Jesus Christ anywhere in the scriptures doing that. What's he tell us to do? Well, yeah, look at those people. No, he tells me and you to be aware and do what? Pray for those people. And pray for ourselves. If we have those thoughts, he does. We are. And you know, as I get older, I recognize this more and more. You know, even more than when I was baptized, when I had hands laid upon me, that this group is absolutely the body of Jesus Christ here upon this earth. I know that I look out and I see these young ones and they're a part of the body, the flesh. What's the opening scripture that I read about the flesh? That Jesus has come in the flesh and he's gone. And guess what? His flesh is still here and resides in you through his spirit. We do not honor and glorify Jesus Christ if we do any of those things that I've just mentioned. We don't. Guess what? We are doing a disservice to our children, and our nephews and our grandkids and other people's grandkids, if they see us doing that. Because they'll do it and they'll think, this is okay. No, it's not okay. And I want them to know, especially when they start this life in Jesus Christ, those that have just been baptized and are being baptized, that this is not okay. There's nothing about it that is okay. I made a covenant that I would follow him. You know, in the 17th verse of that 1 John 4 chapter, it says, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Whoa. That's serious stuff, isn't it? I mean, this is... serious stuff. The gospel of Jesus Christ and his truths is serious stuff. So I asked him, you know, Steve, do you ever have these things in your heart? You better believe it. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I've got a spirit that tells me it's wrong. Do I always listen to that Holy Ghost that the Lord has placed there in my heart? No. Sometimes I choose not to. I choose to ignore. I do what I want to do. And there's not a one in this room that hasn't fallen in that category at some time or other. Yes. Paul had the same trouble. Nephi had the same trouble. You know, they both said, oh, wretched man that I am. Guess what did they do? Were they really wretched? No. But they had the same problems that you and I have in our lives. And they recognized it. But, God knows this. I want to turn to Hebrews. I want to turn to the 12th chapter. You know this. And this is an advantage that you and I have, that our young brothers and sisters are going to develop, they're going to see, they're going to be aware of. It's going to happen in their lives. Wherefore, seeing we also, pardon me, first two verses, 12th chapter of Hebrews. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, those things in our lives, and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking, what? Looking to Jesus, looking to that Spirit, that Holy Ghost that He's placed within us, the love of Jesus Christ, looking to that. The author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising its shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. We have that before us. We have the testimonies. We have the healings. We have all of those things. We have a cloud of witnesses. And most especially, we have that Spirit within us. And yes, we're going to be tempted, and we're going to be tried, and it's not them against us. It's not them against us. It's us against us. It's yourself and the choices that you make. The devil just tempts you. In Scripture, I don't know whether I'm going to read it or not. I crossed out a lot of stuff. But who is greater? Who is greater? Jesus Christ is greater. Choice is yours. The choice is yours. The choice is mine. I'm going to read on. You know, I think about, and I'll go back to Dad. And I was thinking about what kind of testimony that I could bear, ones that I haven't bore, and it's Father's Day, so I want to bear a testimony, and both, this was a healing, and this was a revealment, and they happened 10 years apart, and they involved my father, and it happened at work. And it was many years ago. And Mike, yeah, he's a bum. He took the day off. And he was home. Not really. He was up in a tree pruning a tree. But business was slow. And so he took the day off. And I, believe it or not, I'd pulled a carburetor on Dad's truck. And I was working on this car, his carburetor, which I'm not good at. And Jim was there. Jim was in the back room, and Dad was watching me and watching what I was doing. Then I heard a noise, and it was my father, and he just went backwards like that. And that floor has 11 inches of concrete. And first thing he hit was the back of his head. And I went, looked, heard the crack, and I'm there stunned. Had these, it was, I wore coveralls all the time. These were long sleeve coveralls. And I looked at him, he wasn't breathing, turning different color. And so I breathed into him, and I said, Jim, call. This was before 911. So I said, Jim, call, you know, emergency. And so he did, and he stayed back there. And I breathed into my father, good Boy Scout. I knew all this stuff, and reached underneath his arm or his head, and put it back, and pinched his nose, and breathed in. And what I did, the blood gushed out of his ear and was covering my arm. And he wasn't alive. And so I did this, I don't know whether it was two or three more times. Same thing happened. And I finally said, you know, hollered at Jim and said, Dad's gone. And Jim was afraid to come out. I mean, he was afraid to come out. And so I raised my head and offered just an anguish, almost a scream. And it was like, dear God, save my father. And I breathed one more time. And you know what happened. You know, he coughed. The blood didn't come out, and he coughed. And they took him, and he was in the hospital for, how long, dear? 5 weeks? Longer than that. I mean, a long, long, long time. We had Dad 10 more years. We had Dad 10 more years. And I remember that so vividly. And it was a witness. Well, so was his passing. It was almost exactly 10 years later. Mom and Dad were down in Arkansas. That's where my mother was raised. And they were visiting, and Dad started coughing. And he had an aortic aneurysm, and it was ready to break. And so they called up here and says, your dad's, they're going to have to operate on your dad. He has a very weak heart. Chances are not good that they will be able to get the heart pumping again after they operate. So we're looking for the kids to tell them, and they're in school, I think, or after school, or it's afternoon, and I think I don't know whether we found, I don't remember, Steve and Kevin. We couldn't find Terry. So finally we found Terry walking, and why he was walking, I don't know, and picked him up and said, Terry, we got some stuff, something to tell you. And he says, I already know. I said, how do you know? He said, I had a dream. And he says, I don't know whether it was a dream or whether it was a vision. And he says, it was so vivid that he told all his friends when he went to school about this, what happened to him that night. And I says, what is it? And he says, well, we were all over at Mom's house, and we were all surrounded Mom, and we were patting her and telling her that she was going to be okay without Dad. And so we knew. You know, the Lord condescended to us and say, I mean, he just said, it's your father's time. And I'll never forget that. But it's a cloud of witnesses. That's what's available to you and I. And you're going to have, you kids are going to have them in your lives. You can look back like I look back, and you can look forward to these things and know of a surety that the Lord is with you, that He is directing you. Those choices that you make, yes, you're going to have trouble from time to time, but those things and that Holy Spirit that resides in you is going to lift you up. It's not, this is not a gospel of dread. This is a gospel of joy and love and truth. And He gives us in this church, everything we need. Everything we need. You go to 1 Peter, the second chapter, and it says, He gives us those great and precious promises. He gives us. That's that Holy Ghost that you have received or you're going to receive. It's one of those things. And if you read that verse, you read on where what it leads to. It leads to virtue. It leads to godliness. It leads you to making the right choices in your life when it's hard. And in those right choices, there is that joy. Actually, I want to read that. Second Peter, not first. Okay. Starting with the second verse. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. You've received through His Spirit the knowledge that Jesus is the Christ. Whereby, this is important, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that Holy Ghost, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. If you listen to that Holy Ghost, there is no doubt that you will be partakers of the divine nature. You're going to be just like Jesus Christ. You're going to have all the attributes that Jesus had when He walked this earth, because you're walking this earth in His place now. What a joy. What a joy this is. Divine nature, the latter part. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And then it goes on and tells you what's going to happen if you do that. And besides just giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness. All these things will follow. It's, you know, like Mike was saying last week when I was so happy. He says, This is grin and giggle scripture. You know, if this doesn't make you happy with the knowledge that you possess this, that God had, not because you're worthy of it, because He has given you this, because of the love that He has, and He's placed His love within your heart, within your soul, in the form of the Holy Ghost, to make sure that you make the right choices. I'm going to read for a closing scripture, the second chapter of Ephesians. I'm going to read the first. First eight verses. And you hath he quickened, made alive. Place something within you. Okay? He will place something within you if you hadn't made that choice. But those of you who have, he's quickened you. Made you alive. Who were dead in trespasses and sins. Where in times past he walked according to the course of the world. According to the prince of the power of the air. And the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. The choices. Whom also he had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. I was a sinner. I still am a sinner from time to time. I still am a sinner. But there is a difference. You and I know the difference. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, this is all based, all these gifts, all these things that are given to you when you make that choice is because of the love that God has for every individual in this room and every individual in the world. Remember that. Remember that when you think in your mind and you give in a little bit and says, you know, I'm going to post this. That God loves that person just like he loves you. I forgot where I was reading. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. And hath raised us up together and has made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Jesus Christ. And the eighth verse. For by grace you are saved through faith. How? Because of the gifts. Because of your faith. And the gift that he has given you that resides in you. You know, in that another verse in Peter, it says that he is not willing that any person be lost, any person perish, not a single soul in this world. It's not his will. It's his will that all of us, and all of everybody should come to repentance. Peter says that. All of us should come to repentance. That should be our mission. That should be if I and you are Christ's flesh on earth, and it's his desire? Is it our mission to criticize? No. It's our mission to promote. He's given us all you need. He's given each one of you all you need. He's given you the opportunity to have real joy in your life. Seize it. Thank you.